with Tom Udall in his office and tried to lay these out, and he's on the Foreign Relations Committee and got no headway, and now we're getting movement. In the House, Barbara Lee, John Conyers, who's a Korean War vet, they're beginning, and they have something going in the House. We met with the State Department, as I mentioned. I met with the National Security Council folks during President Ngo's time in South Korea, because it's important that they know things are going on. And what's important are these exchanges, going to North Korea, meeting with people there, shaking hands, and telling them. I've told President Kim Jong-nam of the Supreme People's Assembly, the president of that, that there are millions of peace-loving Americans who want a resolution. And you just see faces relax. You see people who could be potentially hostile calm down to know that there may be hope. So what are the talking points? Talk about peace treaties, talk about formalized relations, talk about supporting the sunshine policy of the new president of South Korea, supporting the self-determination of the Korean people. Talk about non-proliferation, but talk about that it requires the immediate suspension of the annual war games, and it requires unconditional negotiations more than putting, oh no, first drop your gun and work toward a withdrawal of troops. Bring them home. And so when governments can't find the peace, I think people must take the action. So I call upon you all, write your congressional people with the talking points, call the Secretary of State, write the president, or just get on the line and go to whitehouse.gov, write letters to your editor on these things, support groups like ours, Lawyers for Disarmament and Peace. Contact the South Korean embassy. Tell them you support their president's sunshine policies. And finally, hold forums like this all over. Because we can stand together for peace if we have the will and if we have the information. So thank you.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Waffle Window, located 3610 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland, and serving unique Portland-style Liege waffles with four locations total. Find out more at wafflewindow.com. Lunch was provided by Tamale Boy, restaurant, truck, and catering with three locations in Portland. Go to tamaleboy.com for more info. And dinner was provided by Dubs St. John's, located 9520 North Lombard Street in Portland, and serving burgers, sandwiches, and soul food from a counter inside the Ranger Tavern. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, your whistleblower radio, and of course your fake news radio. Whee! At 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. And it is the first day of our membership drive. We mean every single word of that, every letter of that. Membership means everything to this station, and I do mean everything. I really want to encourage everyone. We're going to have a wonderful guest today. Tom Carpenter with Hanford Challenge is joining us. That's Tom Carpenter with Hanford Challenge, no less than, because when you hear a report about Hanford from mainstream media, your first thought should be, of course, after you get your knickers untwisted, your first thought should be, well, what's the real story here? And that's, of course, what we endeavor to do. We're going to get in touch, get on the horn with somebody who actually knows what's going on and is close to the fact on the ground and can inform you
our supporters, our members, our volunteers, our listeners, of what is actually the facts on the ground actually are. So that said, Tom will join us very, very shortly. Before we get into it, though, today I want to thank Tavi Fashi-Drake for engineering for us. We have friends, volunteers out there on the phone, so we're going to talk to them in a little bit about how you can become a member. We have Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks very much, Derek. All of us here making this happen in concert, together, hand in hand with you, the listeners. Briefly now, Tom's on the phone. We're going to just wait. We're just going to ask you to wait just a moment while we rip through the weather, because that's what we're in the Pacific Northwest. We're attuned to that, and people here notice changes in the weather there all the time, every year. I am a farmer. I notice it virtually on a day-to-day basis. So for today, we've got a little bit of rain, highs near 48, and it's very light. Winds for tonight, showers are likely, but early on, otherwise cloudy with a low around 41. And for tomorrow, it's going to be foggy morning out there. And then partly sunny with high around 50, light variable winds. So tomorrow night, there's a very slight chance of rain. Otherwise, we will be cloaked in fog late at night. Lows around 38. So it's going to be probably in outlying areas, a little bit slippery and a little bit foggy out there. That said, there are a whole lot of stunning headlines today. That said, we've got strange goings on again with the Consumer Protection Agency. Donuts just don't cut it this time, and we're going to watch once more as Donald Trump probably, it's very likely, will have his way. All of these things build up. All of these things matter. All of these but we hear as headlines, just because it's dropped away from the news, just because you don't hear it on the news anymore, doesn't mean it hasn't happened. The USA Patriot Act, that has radically changed the society and the culture in this country. We are more likely now to censor ourselves. That's happened. I literally myself do not recognize this country, and it seeps into everything, and I do mean everything. No one really has managed to escape the effects of the USA Patriot Act, and yet you could ask newsrooms across the country what it is, and they don't know. They don't know. A lot of people walking around empty-headed, no idea who and what agency is pulling their strings and making them dance. That said, now let's get on to Hanford, because Tom's waiting. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks, Chris.
Really appreciate it. Tom is the executive director of the Hanford Challenge. He has decades of experience organizing, litigating, and policy oversight in the nuclear field, and much of that has been devoted to Hanford. Hanford's back in the headlines again, and that means one thing, and that is, let's take a look behind the headlines at what's really happening. Could you just brief us on what's the situation at Hanford?
Well, unfortunately, right now, the Trump administration is planning to save money on the cleanup by simply not doing parts of the cleanup, especially the important parts, which is the high-level waste and the nuclear waste tanks. In the game there is they're supposed to remove the waste from these 177 underground nuclear waste tanks, which is good. They need to do that. And the idea is to treat that waste by mixing it with glass and then burying it deep underground in a repository that we don't yet have. But that is the long-term solution. Well, that's turning out to be expensive and problematic. And so the Trump administration is now looking at alternatives, which essentially boil down to reclassifying the waste in the tanks as no longer dangerous high-level waste, but simply now saying that it's, you know, less than that. It's low-level waste.
Question.
Or uranic waste.
Question. How can we be absolutely sure? This stuff has been so hot for so I have heard that there's no way of knowing. It's one thing to say, well, we know that there are certain radioactive components in those containers, but these things have huge valencies, and they are very likely to combine and recombine. We've got some chemistry going on down there. How do we know exactly what the composition of the material in those tanks is?
Well, you know, they've got somewhat of an idea, and we do know that it's the most dangerous material on the planet, that it is two-thirds of the nation's inventory of high-level nuclear waste, that this waste is dangerous for, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of years, and that Hanford is a terrible place to be a repository for this kind of waste. Why? It's surrounded by volcanoes. It has earthquake faults going through the middle of the site. The Columbia River goes through the middle of the site. It's just not a place where you would want to put long-term storage of high-level, long-lasting nuclear waste, but that is exactly the direction we're heading in right now to save money, so that corporations, you know, can get bigger tax cuts and the Trump family can enjoy more money, et cetera, is what's behind that. And they will save a lot of money if they simply pour concrete in the tanks, for instance, and walk away from it. But we're leaving a legacy for future generations that will destroy those future generations and the Columbia River. So we're fighting that. We will do whatever necessary to prevent that kind of decision being taken.
Well, concrete, for that matter, even glass. These don't seem like good solutions, and I wondered also, are they concrete especially is troubling? Simply pouring it on top, isn't this just going to be pressure that's going to force it deeper into the earth? And now, how is that going to protect the Columbia River? And
it is not going to protect the Columbia River. So, you know, it's in fact, they did try to put concrete in a waste tank in South Carolina, and all the concrete went down and displaced the, you know, waste on mm-hmm. top of the concrete.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm. Yeah.
So, it's like, well, how did that help? And at Hanford, they're planning to leave some 60,000 plus gallons of high-level nuclear waste in what are called the sea farm tanks. This is just to begin with. Put concrete on top of that, and you know it's going to turn Hanford into a high-level nuclear waste repository without a license, without any long-term management strategy for it, and it will pollute the Columbia River and affect future generations. So we're kicking the can down the road and making it a big problem for other peoples down the road, and that's not acceptable.
Tom, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate you coming on the show today. We have to go to the membership room right now and see how things are going on the first day of our winter membership drive.
Thanks for being part of the transparency and accountability.
Well, can you just quickly, before we do that, would you just give us the website, the source, so that people can find out more about what's going on at Hanford?
Sure, it's hanfordchallenge.org.
Simple enough.
Together.
Great, thank you so much. This is how we get the world done. This is how we get the work done, yes, around here. And we are joined by, who's out there this morning? I can't see
you've
you.
You've got Ken and Ray.
Ken and Ray. Well, what we wanted to tell people is one message this morning, and that is how terribly important membership is, because all the rest of this would not be reaching you, were it not for you yourself and other volunteers and other members. And listeners who are just about to call that number right now, how can people become members right this minute? Ken, Ray? Got any ideas out there?
Well, I think that they can quickly call 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm and click on donate. And I think the listeners recognize what a terrific example of community radio and keeping them informed your show and your discussion with Tom Carpenter was, Chris. I think it's an excellent example of why it's worth our listeners' while to continue to support KBOFM, especially during the first day of our holiday membership drive and Giving Tuesday.
In fact, Chris's show, Air Cascadia, is a great example of local coverage of public affairs in Portland and the state of Oregon, as Tom Carpenter's interview shows you. And then before that, we had alternative radio for the national and international view. And after Chris, of course, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. So KBOO is really a community of the national, the international, but most especially the local. A lot of news that the mainstream media doesn't cover, you'll hear on KBOO. So give us a call if you're not already a member, or if you want to renew your membership, 877-500-5266. And very important thing I need to mention too, Ray, is here the sweepstakes drawing. If you become a new member today, you'll be entered in this sweepstakes. Today's drawing is for four pairs of VIP tickets to Portland Center Stage at the Armory. If you want to hear more about those shows, just stay tuned for Stage and Studio with D.M.A. Roberts at 11 a.m. All you need to do is call 877-500-5266 to be entered for a chance to win. And then, Ray, the matching funds, too, are very important today.
Well, and that's certainly the case. We have a group of donors who have gotten together and put together a very generous matching offer. The next $3,000, or in fact the first $3,000, will be matched, which means if you commit that $10 a month for the KBOO beanie or the $25 a month for the KBOO hoodie, you'll be in good shape. We do want to take one moment, though, and thank three people. Joshua is a renewing member from Southeast Portland. Sally is a renewing member from Northeast Portland. And Lori and Dave are renewing members of North Portland. And now, Tave, back to you.
We're going to take it back to Chris Andre for the end of Air Cascadia. And thank you, Ray, and thank you, Ken, and always thank you, Chris.
I just want to add one point here. We mentioned this last week, and I believe Lana Jack of the Salila YM was with us to talk about Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday seemed last week, anyway.